This podcast is brought to you by Recontract, the leading software to automate your reconditioning process and streamline your entire used vehicle management process. Visit recontract.com to learn more. That's recontract.com.
Want to dive deeper into the topics you hear about on Daily Drive? We're offering listeners a special offer, 20% off a one-year Automotive News digital subscription. That gets you access to all of our news, information, and analysis made for automotive industry leaders like you. Go to autonews.com/dailydrivepromo to redeem. Welcome to Daily Drive for Friday, March 15th, 2024. I'm Jamie Butters, Executive Editor of Automotive News in Detroit.
And I'm Kellen Walker in Las Vegas. Today on the show, Honda and Nissan team up on EVs to catch up with Tesla and BYD. Here in the U.S., EV growth continues to slow. And Ford CEO Jim Farley kicks off a nationwide tour of dealer visits. Plus, Doug Fusco of Informative joins the show to talk about the best ways to prevent fraud in your dealership.
Fraud is here to stay. The difference is how you plan to handle it, what your game plan is to handle.
Let's run through all the news you need to know to keep up in the auto industry.
Nissan and Honda want to cooperate on electric vehicles and explore commonized parts and joint procurement. That's as the Japanese carmakers strive to slash costs and join the frontrunners in the global EV race. The two companies announced a memorandum of understanding about the tie-up at a news conference attended by Nissan CEO Makoto Uchida and Honda CEO Toshihiro Mibe on Friday. The second and third largest automakers in Japan will consider jointly sharing and jointly producing e-axles and other core EV components. The executives said the companies will look at sharing battery technologies and software platforms. They say the automakers have no plans to share products or rebadge vehicles. Capital cross-holdings are also out of the scope of the discussion for now, but the executives said they would not close the door on such ideas down the road.
New U.S. EV registrations rose 15% in January. That's significantly lower than the 52% growth reached in the 2023 calendar year. S&P Global Mobility data shows EVs captured 7.8% of new U.S. light vehicle registrations in January, up from 7.1% a year earlier and 7.7% for all of 2023. The January results were uneven across brands. Tesla gained 15%, mirroring the overall segment. Meanwhile, Ford and Chevy registrations declined year over year. Rivian, Hyundai, Kia, Mercedes-Benz, and Cadillac showed the biggest gains among the top 10 EV makers.
Speaking of Tesla sales, many industry analysts considered the Model Y crossover the best-selling model of 2023 globally, but in the U.S., it came up short, lagging behind pickups from Ford, Chevy, and Ram, plus the venerable Toyota RAV4 crossover. But S&P says the Model Y's fifth-place showing for total registrations improves when you consider only retail numbers and not fleet. For new retail registrations last year, the Model Y moves into second place behind the Ford F-Series full-size pickup line. The F-Series includes the popular F-150 and bigger variants, including the F-250 and F-350. Looking at total registrations, the F-Series was on top with 677,000 last year. For retail registrations only, the F-Series topped 380,000, while the Model Y tallied about 375,000.
And while the F-Series continues to be a cash cow for dealers, they still have plenty of concerns in early 2024. Ford CEO Jim Farley says he wants to hear them out. He plans to step out of the executive suite and into the hot seat in a series of meetings with dealers around the country. The tour is aimed to better understand dealers' concerns about issues including electrification, quality, and affordability. Farley and other top officials kick off the engagement tour on Friday. It will involve a dozen in-person sessions and roughly one-third of Ford's U.S. dealer body. The sit-downs will begin in Dearborn, Michigan, and run through May, with stops planned in Los Angeles, Atlanta, and Dallas. And those are today's headlines. So, Jamie, you and I literally just had a conversation about automakers doing more collaboration when it comes to the EV transition. Nissan and Honda are doing so. What can other automakers learn from a partnership like this? And is this something that we'd expect from Japanese automakers, unlike their U.S. counterparts?
You know, not necessarily. You know, Honda has done a lot of partnerships, a lot of joint ventures. You know, I can think of a few with General Motors in particular. You know, currently they're sharing EVs, they're sharing fuel cell powertrains. They've worked on other projects in the past. Nissan, not so much. They've done some work with their alliance partner, Renault, but those were often challenging and left some hard feelings at times. So I would not have projected this necessarily, but, you know, we hear Honda CEO Mibe say this is about survival. It's about whether or not they can survive. So if it comes down to a Darwinian shakeout in the next 5 to 10 years, like Carlos Tavares of Stellantis projected, Nissan and Honda are not as big as Stellantis or Toyota or some of the other players. So this might be what they have to do to find a way and a path into the future. Very interesting move, and we'll see if it becomes something even bigger.
Gotcha. Coming up, there are some basic things all dealers need to do to protect their stores from fraud. Doug Fusco of Informative joins the show to talk about it next on Daily Drive.
We want to hear your voice on Daily Drive. What would you like us to talk about this week on our Weekend Drive episode of the show? What are some of the biggest industry trends or news stories you're thinking about?
Send us a voicemail, text, or email, and you might hear it on the next edition of Weekend Drive. Here's how you can get in touch.
Call us and leave a voicemail or text at 313-444-2774. Again, that's 313-444-2774. You can also record your voice on your smartphone and send it to dailydrive@autonews.com. That's dailydrive, one word, at autonews.com.
And tune into the show this weekend. You might hear your question or comment.
Managing your used inventory is not exclusive to one person or one part of the dealership. What does the communication look like between sales and service? Are your vehicles getting passed from trade-in to recon with no hiccups? What is your average cycle time to get a used car frontline ready? There is a lot to keep track of all at once. Right now, you could be experiencing three major issues with your recon information causing process breakdowns. One, lack of visibility into recon pricing to inform the appraisal process. Two, no access to that appraisal information when working through recon approvals. Three, missed information and process bottlenecks trying to manage a vehicle across multiple systems and tools. Full insight throughout your entire process is crucial to making your used car department the most efficient and profitable it can be. Recontract combined with AutoVision creates an end-to-end tool for your used car department to address these breakdowns. With access to live appraisal information and reconditioning approvals, you get a single view of every vehicle with all the data you need right in one place. Make more educated decisions on your used car inventory faster with all your data easily accessible at any stage. Visit info.recontract.com/autovision for more information. That's info.recontract.com/AUTOVISION.
Welcome back to Daily Drive. I'm Jamie Butters with Kellen Walker. If airport security lines are long, the TSA doesn't change its procedures and let passengers in without screening them. The same should apply for a dealership. That's according to Doug Fusco, founder of Dealer Safeguard Solutions, which is now part of Informative. He says sometimes when dealerships get busy, processes that would protect stores from various types of fraud are skipped to get buyers in and out quicker. Fusco spoke with Automotive News senior editor Dan Shine about steps dealerships should take to ensure they're protected from fraud.
Doug, thanks for joining me today on the F&I Friday edition of Daily Drive.
Thanks for having me.
You were kind enough to write a guest column for a recent F&I special section that people can find online right now about fraud and about, I guess, you kind of made this analogy about, you know, walking onto an airplane and how there are kind of similarities between good fraud practices and traveling on an airplane. Talk me through that a little bit. Tell me the analogy that you kind of put together.
Sure. Well, you know, dealers for years have had an obligation to train their staff on best practices with regard to compliance. They've got agreements with lenders that they're required to clear, you know, validate the person is who they say they are. Lots of responsibilities to kind of do those fraud pre-checks, right, and validation pre-checks. And, you know, unfortunately, in a showroom, Saturdays are different than Mondays, right? And it's pretty easy to follow processes when there's two or three people in the showroom. When there's 20 people in the showroom and we got five salespeople and things are starting to get backed up, shortcuts get taken. And, you know, it just occurred to me that it should be more like an airport, right? If I'm late to a flight or there's a long line and I got there late and I'm waiting to get through, they don't say, hey, you guys in the back of the line, come over here and skip TSA and skip the scan. They do it the same way every time for obvious reasons, right? But they have a process they're trained to and there's no variability in it. And unfortunately, with the environment that we live with, you know, in a showroom, we have turnover, we have temptation, we have policy evaporation, where the further away I get from training, the less I remember. And we have distractions, right? So the processes need to be very similar to that in an airport. And when somebody slips through, it's at the busiest times. And that's when the fraudsters come in. They have unlimited budget, unlimited time. They're very creative. And they just work their way up and down the highways looking for who's going to be the next victim and where they can get, you know, through the shortcut through the back door.
And you probably have a salesperson who's anxious to sell the car. And, you know, maybe there might be some red flags a little bit, but they're, you know, but they're like, oh, you know, I want to sell this car. So again, sometimes maybe things are, steps are skipped or processes is ignored a little bit in maybe in the chase of that sale.
Absolutely. And it all comes down to, and the laws clearly call out, we have to be consistent in our patterns of practices. That's been black and white for a long time. And when you think about that and you think about, you know, those shortcuts, there are lots of tools out there that'll check licenses for fraud. Some are good, some are great. And when they're in a detached environment where I've got a device at a greeter or a receptionist, and I've got my salespeople that have to go up there and put it in that machine to process. And I've got 20 people getting ready to go out on test drives in a larger store. And I'm salesperson 13 in line. I'm probably going to skip that step when I see my customer tapping their foot back at the desk or putting their stuff back in their, you know, in their pocket and getting ready to leave. And that's when the dealers are at the most risk, when we're busy.
You mentioned in the column that you, Informative, your company found like over 5,000 fake IDs in 2023 with involving your dealership clients. And you've mentioned, you put a scenario of someone who was trying to buy a Dodge Challenger Demon, which is quite the vehicle. Tell me a little bit about that story and how they kind of caught that this was fraud.
They caught that it was fraud. It was a remote delivery, number one, I think. And when they collected the license, I think they'd filled out an online credit app to start with. And we have the ability to securely request, receive, and validate a license for fraud within the platform. So very innocent. Hey, we need your license to, you know, finish up this deal. Please click on the secure link and send it to us. And the tool chewed on the license and came back, you know, and identified it as fraudulent. I mean, we see that, you know, one of the biggest cases is where they're not in the showroom. Or, you know, when it's time to deliver it, hey, I want to deliver it at work. I don't want to deliver it at my house because the address is not really their house. So it gets delivered to some, you know, inconspicuous place that's not a home or residence, and they try and use every trick they can to take that car.
But I guess I'm right in saying that this problem is never going to go away. You're never going to necessarily solve fraud. Like you're not going to necessarily stop it. There's always going to be kind of a whack-a-mole aspect to this. Am I right in kind of saying that it's here to stay? And it's, I would imagine.
Well, fraud is here to stay. The difference is how you plan to handle it, what your game plan is to handle it, right? So I can hope that my folks do the right thing. I can hope that they scan it every time. I can hope that they put it in the tool that I pay for every time. I hope they do the right thing on remote deliveries every time. Or you can have a framework that enforces that consistent process and try and have as many hammers as you can for whack-a-mole, right? So we touch several places. We touch the ID itself and we capture it. We touch the ID when it comes in remotely. We have a synthetic fraud tool on the back end that looks at information off the credit report and is this a valid person? And then through our mobile application, we have the ability to validate the device itself is owned by the person that says that they sent you that information. So try and lock up every piece of that. And when it's embedded into a process that happens the same way every time and is driven by technology, those dealers are way, way ahead of most of the dealers that are, you know, still doing it onesie twosies. And I do a better job on Monday morning scanning than I do on a Saturday afternoon.
Talk to me about the kind of, when you talk about consistent, repeatable processes and kind of the four entry points that will help dealers, you know, kind of combat fraud.
Yeah. So, I mean, customers onboard today by walking into the showroom. They onboard today by filling out an online credit application. They onboard through a digital retailing platform. And they also onboard through our QR-based lead gen tool. And the laws are consistent for compliance regardless of where that customer journey starts, right? And today, in many dealerships, those are detached entry points. They don't all go to one place. And when you have, you know, one framework, one file cabinet where all the on-ramps start that folder, and then I control all those folders and control that process regardless of where that journey starts, then I have something that I can bet on and feel confident with that, you know, whether I've got two people or 50 people in my showroom, it's going to be done the same way every time, regardless of where that journey started.
It's got to be consistent vigilance. Doug, I really enjoyed the conversation. That's a fascinating issue, an ongoing problem with F&I and dealerships. So enjoyed the conversation, and thanks for sharing your wisdom and knowledge.
Well, appreciate your time, and happy to talk at any time, and you have a good day.
Doug Fusco is the founder of Dealer Safeguard Solutions, which is now part of Informative. He spoke with our own Dan Shine. That's Daily Drive for today. I'm Jamie Butters.
And I'm Kellen Walker. Thanks to Automotive News coordinating producer Jake Neer, as well as our own Hans Grimmel, Lawrence Iliff, and Michael Martinez for their reporting for today's podcast. You can get the latest news on retail fraud, automaker EV partnerships, and everything happening in the auto industry at autonews.com.
Come back over the weekend for our weekend drive edition of the show. We'll talk about why we at Automotive News are no longer considering Tesla a luxury brand. And we'll look at a new lithium mining project that just won a $2.2 billion loan guarantee from the U.S. government.
It's estimated to contain between 20 and 40 million metric tons of lithium. So it's a huge project.
We'd love to hear from you. Let us know what you think of the show and the topics we covered today. Send us an email at dailydrive@autonews.com or leave us a voicemail at 313-444-2774. And if you enjoy the podcast, remember to like, leave a review, and subscribe so you never miss an episode.